So you've got a new toy then?
Yeah, a new toy for the little boy.
Toy for the little boy. Brilliant. And can we talk about it?
We can. I've got myself a 360-degree camera, which is really cool.
Yeah, and I'm dreading to think what you're going to use it for, but come on, enlighten us.
I had this idea in my head to do start doing regular Hidden Wiltshire videos. So when I'm out on a walk, to actually take this 360-degree camera with me and film it. Now, if anyone doesn't realise what this is, a 360-degree camera films in 360 degrees and uses software to extract the bits of the video that you want. So you don't actually have to have any sort of camera work or anything. You just, it's really weird. You just edit the camera work out of the 360-degree field of view, which is quite amazing, really. So welcome to another Hidden Wiltshire podcast. This is podcast number 30, and we've got some really interesting things to talk about today. My name is Glyn Coy. I am the person behind the Hidden Wiltshire Project, and with me, as always, I have my podcasting partner and buddy.
Paul Timlett.
No pause there.
There was no pause. There was no hesitation. There was no deviation.
You remembered your name.
I did.
That's a first.
Because I have it tattooed on my head now, on my forehead, where I can see it in reverse.
Oh, dear. As always, in the first part of this podcast, we have a little bit of a chit-chat about what's been going on in the last couple of weeks. And from my perspective, I've done bugger all. So over to you.
Oh, my God. Well, on the subject of cameras, as you know, I'm having a bit of a stressful time at the moment. I stupidly decided to trade in my entire camera system. So I have two cameras and six lenses, I think it is. And I decided to chop the whole lot in and replace it with one camera and two lenses. And this has all proved rather more stressful than it should have been. So at the moment, I have no camera and no lenses at all. Which is, I'm just utterly bereft and heartbroken. It's like losing a limb. It's just ridiculous. Well, I say I've got no cameras. I do actually have two 35mm film cameras and the second ever digital camera that I bought, which is a Canon, which has got less megapixels on it than most people's phones now, but I still have it. And also I've got a tiny little pocket digital camera, Fuji camera, which is superb. So I'm down to my last four cameras. but I'm doing this all for the benefit of Hidden Wiltshire, because I have my hulking great Nikon full frame system, which was blooming big and blooming heavy. And when I'm doing the walks for the blog, it's a lot of gear and it's heavy gear to carry around. And then I had a smaller sort of Fuji system, but I didn't feel that the quality of the images was really... Well, they're good, but they're really difficult to edit. So I thought I'd just chop the whole lot in and get a smaller Nikon system. So that's what I'm doing. But it's just proving very, very stressful. Apart from that, we've had a letter. I've had a letter.
What? A real letter?
A real letter, a listener's letter. And it's from my good friend, walking buddy, and my next-door neighbour, Stu, who sent me a letter. And it says, I'll read it out to you. It says, Dear Tim, as you know, I occasionally enjoy the show. I especially like that nice young man, Glenn, but I think you need to remember who pays your wages and show a bit more respect. So I think he's talking about you there. I know that in the last show, advertisers being about Wiltshire's blind houses, it was a full 29 minutes before you even mentioned a blind house. I only listen to the podcast to hear the main feature. I'm not interested in all that other drivel that you talk about. So I think you either need to cut to the chase and get straight onto the advertised subject, or rename each episode and list out the things that you are going to talk about in the title. Yours sincerely, Mr. Jenkins. Well, thank you, Stu. That's very helpful. We do value your contributions and suggestions. So I'm just going to file this letter in the suggestions tray over here.
Well done.
Thank you, Stu. And next time, please put a stamp on your letter because I had to pay £1.50 to go and collect that from the post office.
Well, at least it was at the post office and hadn't disappeared and returned to sender.
What else? So my good pal and walking buddy and next door neighbour, Mr. Jenkins, and I, we did the Wilts and Barks Canal Walk, as readers of the Facebook site will know. So we did wrote a blog and took some pictures. So that went up because I'm just conscious of the fact a lot of people don't have Facebook. And I can quite understand why they don't. Unless you're sort of regularly checking into the blog site, the website, you won't necessarily know that new things are going up. So I think it's probably a good idea to alert people to them on here. So Stu and I did that a week ago today, actually. I think it was Friday we did it. I read this morning on Facebook, funnily enough, that today is the 220th or 222nd birthday of William Fox Talbot, who allegedly invented photography and who is buried at the churchyard in Laycock, where we started the walk last week. So I didn't know that at the time. So if I'd have gone today, then it would have been his birthday.
Oh, there you go.
I still didn't find his grave, but anyway, it was sort of something. Yes, I can't think of the right word, but is apocryphal a word? I don't know. Anyway, we should have gone today, really.
Yeah.
So that's this
week. Poor planning, really.
Poor planning. Should have known. That's this week's useless fact. What else? Yeah, I just talk about the Facebook group as well. It's the closed group for contributors. So these people who want to go out and do their own walks and photographs. There's some really good stuff going up at the moment. And just a quick name check to, I don't deliberately mean to exclude others, but one that sort of really stands out for me is Elaine Perkins. She's done some great walks and some really good photographs. I mean, she's really getting out and about and exploring a few places. So if you're on the Facebook group, look out for those. What else we've got to talk about? I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but at Salisbury Museum, there's a great exhibition at the moment by another drone photographer, David Abram. Who particularly sort of photographs ancient sites and, you know, hill forts. Most of them seem to be hill forts. So there's an exhibition of his photographs. It's called Ancient Sites from the Air, and it runs until Sunday the 15th of May. So quite a lot of time to go and see that. It started end of January, I think. I haven't been yet, but in fact, I didn't know it was coming, so I'd been literally the week before it opened. So definitely going to go back and see that.
I've seen it.
Oh, yeah, you went?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's quite good, actually. I mean, the photos that he's printed off for the exhibition are actually quite large because he's, I think what he's done is, this is what's really good about using drones is you can program, because the drones are driven by GPS, you can program them to do certain things. But anyway, what he's done is he's taken multiple images above these ancient sites. So a lot of them are vertical look down, and then stitched them together into one large composite image and printed off them to a good size. So the level of detail in them is astonishing. You can just stand there for ages picking out the detail. They've pushed up the sharpness a bit, so they're quite detailed. But yeah, it's fascinating. There's one he's done of Old Sarum, which is absolutely brilliant. You can just stay there for ages just looking at all the detail in it. It's a really good exhibition.
And the other thing that we need to talk about, as if we haven't been bashing it enough, is the video premiere, which is next week, I think.
Yeah, the video premiere. So the video premiere of our first proper Hidden Wiltshire video is coming out on the 15th of February, which is next Tuesday, at 7:30 p.m. And yeah, it will premiere on YouTube. If you search for the, it's got a link to it on the Facebook page. But if you do a search for the Hidden Wiltshire YouTube channel, it'll take you there, and it'll come up as a premiere release at 7:30, so we can all watch it live together and have a bit of a chat about it.
So you can't see at the moment. You can see like a little thumbnail of it, can't you? But you can't watch the video, so that quite literally be going live for all of us at 7:30 on the 15th. Yeah, yeah.
And then after 7:30, and after it's played, that first premiere, it will be available to watch whenever you want to.
Yeah. That's it's about a 39-40 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's all based around Alton Barnes, Alton Priors, and the hills up there. And it's, you know, as ever, it's about history.
Yes.
We seem to have become a history podcast. So and whilst if anybody does turn up to watch it, there's like a sort of chat bar at the side, isn't there? And you can chat, and we'll be on it. David will be on it, and people can ask questions and make rude comments or whatever they're inclined to do.
Okay, let's press on and get on to the main topic of today's podcast. Okay, so what we're going to do here is talk about an area we actually got together with one of our followers, Bo Novak, to do a walk around Winsley, Turley, and the curiously named Elbow. And we did this. So we did this a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, maybe.
A couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, and we did some recording on the walk, so we'll. Periodically, we'll stop talking in the studio. That sounds really posh, doesn't it? The studio.
Studio.
And then you'll hear us live out in the field. So I'll try, and when I sort of edit this, I'll try and make that as seamless as possible. But should be quite interesting to have the two locations.
And just, I mean, we have talked about this quite a lot, to be fair. But we did this for. A follower, Sarah Lucas, people get fed up with us mentioning this, but Sarah sort of contacted us to say thanks for the podcast, and she did my family tree for me, because that's what she does. But Sarah has lived in Scotland for the last 30 years, and but it comes from the area that we're going to talk about. By way of sort of our thanks to her for doing the family tree, she asked if we would just go and have a walk around the area that she grew up and take some photographs. So we did that and wrote a blog. So there's a blog on the website about it. As you've just said, we recorded our sort of thoughts on the way round, but. We started off in Old Winsley. So Winsley's sort of grown a lot over the years, and I was sort of vaguely aware of it. I've sort of ridden through it a few times on my bike with my old cycling club, and we only ever really sort of went past New Winsley or just Winsley. So I always thought of it as just a blooming great housing estate. And I hadn't really appreciated what was in Old Winsley until we went there the other day. And it's just the most stunning place, isn't it? It's
yeah.
The buildings, almost every building is really old. I mean, they're all ancient. I mean, it's a beautiful place with these tiny little narrow streets. But we parked outside, is it Berghope Manor, I think? That's where I think that's how you pronounce it. We sort of, there's quite a wide road there, so plenty of place to just pull up at the side of the road. And that's where we met up. And that's where we started the walk. Talking about manor, one of the things Sarah told me was that she remembers when she was a kid living, at some point they must have lived opposite the manor house. So not the one, not Berghope Manor where we parked, but the other manor, which I think is over the road. And she lived there with her family, and she described to me in an email how in the 1980s, there was a burglary at the manor, and the manor was owned by a lady called Beatrice Knatchbull at the time. And apparently a sort of gang of thieves turned up in this van one night and broke in and got away with a hoard of antiques, I think it was. And Sarah's dad, who suffered from migraines, happened to be sort of pacing around the house, suffering from a migraine, sort of, I guess, early hours of the morning. And he saw the van, but not really paying it much attention, sort of went back to bed. And I guess it was the next day they found out about the burglary, and the police interviewed sort of local residents to see if anybody had seen anything. And Sarah's dad said, well, I saw a van. I saw the van outside. And of course, they asked him if he got a registration number, and he hadn't. So rather than just sort of leave it at that, they called in a hypnotist from, I think she said Cornwall. So this hypnotist came up from Cornwall. Imagine Wiltshire Police doing this now. I mean, they barely leave the police station these days. that's very unfair, but you know what I mean.
It's quite accurate.
They're very, very busy, and they're very short-staffed. I know they are. So they called this hypnotist up from Cornwall, and this hypnotist put Sarah's dad under, as they say. They put him under, and he recalled enough of the registration number whilst he was in this hypnotic state for the police to actually track down the van. And they got them. They got the thieves, and they recovered, I think, most, if not all, of the hoard. And the case went to the Old Bailey. And Sarah's dad was called. He was a key witness in the case. And to say thank you, Beatrice Knatchbull gave Sarah's dad a painting. And I've seen her. Sarah sent me a picture of it, of this painting, or a drawing. Very, very detailed. It was an old cricket match from, I guess, looking at it, I would say sort of early, mid 1800s. And I'm not quite sure where the cricket match took place. But they're wearing clothes of that era. And Beatrice Knatchbull gave Sarah's dad this painting, this picture, just by way of thanks. And when I emailed Sarah to say, look, we've done the walk, we've recorded some audio, we've taken pictures and written it up as a blog, and it's now live. I mean, she was very emotional about it. But she wrote back and said, what a bizarre coincidence, because I've just been hanging that picture on my wall in my house in Scotland. I mean, literally as the email landed. And then on the Facebook page, the public one, having posted the blog up there, Sarah's elder sister popped up, whose name is Pauline Harold. And I think Sarah tipped her off and said, look, these guys at Hidden Wiltshire have done this. And so she was saying, oh, it was all very emotional, and the whole family have sort of seen this. And I thought it was lovely, really good.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's really good. I mean, this is really what I hoped it would all be about when I started this. It's just about finding these places, people getting connections to what we found, sharing it, stuff. It's just about making it a very human project.
Yeah. I think that you've you know, that was the word I had in my head, was connecting people with you know, with Wiltshire, really, and the less known, well known bits. So yeah, that was great. And she had other stories, which are another one I'll mention a bit later on. But from that, from the centre there, well, from where we'd parked up, we went over to the church, didn't we, to St Nicholas Church.
Yeah, and it was it's a bit of a strange one, this, because the church really drew my eye in, because I looked at it and just thought, this looks weird.
Yeah.
Because the tower looked to be, from the angle I was looking at it, the church tower seemed separate from the nave and the chancel, the main church building,
yeah,
which was really odd. So we went in to have a closer look, didn't we?
So the church, it's so that tower, I think, is sort of around 15th century. Certainly the style is 15th century. Mm. And there are records going back to 1349 of the church. And in fact, in the church itself, the chancel window, there is a window in the chancel, sorry, and that's 13th century. But the main building is much more recent, so it's 19th century sometime.
Yeah.
But that was, and just on that tower, though, I mean, it is detached, isn't it? Apart from a little kind of bridge that attaches it to the main building.
Yeah, very, very strange. Mm-hmm. Worth a look.
Yeah.
Definitely worth a look. But and from there, we kind of wandered down the sort of road from there and ended up by the pub.
Looking wistfully,
Seven Stars.
Looking wistfully at the Seven Stars. Even for me, it was a bit early in the morning.
It was quite funny because last week I got contacted out of the blue by an old friend of mine who I've known for years. We started working together in our 20s, and he'd lived up in... He originally came from Winsley, funnily enough, and he went to school in Bradford-on-Avon, and he contacted me last week and said, "Hello, Glenn." I said, "Hello, Neil. I haven't spoken to you for ages. How are you doing?" He says, "Fine. I've just moved to Bradford-on-Avon." I was like, "Really? Okay." Yeah, yeah. So I met up with him in the pub last Friday night, and we're having a chat about stuff. And he was telling me where his parents lived in Winsley. And he was telling me he always used to drink in the Seven Stars.
Oh, so... wow. Yeah. Well, Sarah said that Sarah Lucas said that she used to drink in there as well.
Yeah.
When I mentioned that we'd gone past there, and she's, "Oh, God, the Seven Stars."
Yeah.
Many a pint in there. And it looks like a cracking pub. Because after we finished the walk and you and Beau left, I went back round there just to have a closer look and sort of came at it from the other end of the road. And it was actually a lot bigger than I thought it was. So the picture I used the picture that I took from the other side on the as a thumbnail picture on the blog, because where we were standing from the other end, the church end, it looked quite small, but then you sort of go around the other side, yeah, and it's quite big. But I was looking at the website actually this morning, and it looks fantastic. I mean, great food, fantastic array of beers in there. So I'm definitely going to go back. I'm going to suggest to my son that we go on the train and sort of get out at Avoncliffe and walk up the hill and go and have a few beers. But from there we went. I must admit, when I was writing the blog, I couldn't remember exactly what way we went, but we did end up sort of heading down towards Turley, didn't we? Down those, it was a steep hill, wasn't it? Because it was blooming slippery.
Yeah, it was a steep hill down. I think we went past the War Memorial.
Yes, we did. Yeah,
and then headed down towards Turley. Yeah, and it was a bit slippery underfoot with lots of wet leaves and an incredibly steep road.
And it is a road, and there were sort of your car came down, but there was, I think, from memory, there was like a sort of a cobbled pavement next to the road, and that was very slippery. So we're trying to keep out of the way the traffic coming down, and I certainly nearly went over there. But partway down, you get to what's called the Turley Troughs or Turley Troughs, in Wiltshire speak, I think. And again, this morning when I was just jogging my memory about in preparation for this. See, we do a bit of preparation. I was trying to establish a date because I don't think we mentioned it in the. I know I didn't mention it in the blog, and I'm not sure if, because Bo was talking about it. Well, we'll hear that now. Let's listen to what we were talking about.
And these are the troughs.
So you think, is this water drinkable?
Well, I drink it.
And you're still here?
It's obviously at your own risk.
Yeah.
It's not running off agricultural land. So for me, I drink it in small quantities. It's very clean. It's very fresh. It tastes wonderful. So
this is the famous Turley troughs or Turley troughs.
Yeah.
Is it Turley or Thurley?
Turley. We're Turley. In Turley.
Yeah.
They call it. I'm not local, but I think it's the trowel. There is a sign at the end, but yeah, it runs down the hill through these carved stone series of troughs interconnected.
I read somewhere that these were coffins, but they don't look like.
They're very small.
Yeah, well, that's. I think it said children's coffins. You can't sort of, I suppose you can see the joint.
Repurposed. It looks like one piece of stone to me rather than lots of stone.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Anyway, cheers.
Cheers.
Let's see if you're still with us by the end of the walk.
Yeah. If I start behaving strangely. I mean, the spring isn't very strong because we've not had very much rain.
Mm.
Normally it's a little bit wetter and a bit more gushy. But you can see, look at it.
Yeah, really crystal clear, isn't it?
If you touch it, it's not very, very cold.
But it's just so clear. It's
It's
obviously filtered as it comes up.
God, it is quite warm, isn't it? It's like if you go in a cave, and people say, oh, it must be freezing down there, but it's cold, but it's a constant temperature. So if it's really, really cold outside, you know, like it's been snowing and you go caving, it actually feels quite warm. And the water is, you know, relatively speaking, warm, which is, that sort of temperature.
But what you don't get is you don't get much algae or anything green growing, because the stone keeps it just moving nice and clean. No obstruction, no silt, just a few pebbles at the bottom.
And that's the thing, it is flowing, isn't it? It's really quite difficult to fathom whether these are individual. They do look like coffins, though, don't they? Children's coffins.
Have a look what it says on the sign.
So I think what I read was that the so this was the water source for the village, and people would bring containers up there and fill them up.
As I just did.
Yeah, as you just did.
Yeah.
And
continuing that tradition.
Yeah, traditions survive, and later on, when people had sort of pipes running to their houses, they would then pipe the water from the spring into. Probably not all the houses, just the wealthier ones, I would imagine.
So it looks like Turley at one point was quite a sort of thriving place where people had jobs and there was work. There were buildings that, you know, housed businesses.
But now we haven't really seen anybody, have
no.
we? A few cars.
So the you know, as we were discussing there, the spring sort of emerges from behind a sort of metal gate and tips into these, what are the troughs, which are seven stone troughs, which, you know, really do look like coffins. And I can't remember where I read that this story that they are children's coffins. It seems unlikely because they're all sort of connected together. Or it all seems to be one with sort of like...
Yeah, like one big bit of stone.
Yeah, with sort of like a dividing wall in between each. So we were looking at it and we couldn't really see any sign of them being, you know, cemented together or whatever. But they did look like coffins. But what I couldn't find was a date and when they were actually made. And I'm hopeless at these things. You know, looking at it, I mean, it could be anything as far as I'm looking at when I look at it. Again, if anybody, I bet Alice Cambry will be listening to this. I know, I can find out. And she'll come back and give us a date for those. So do your worst, Alice, get onto that. That was so, I again, didn't know they were there. That was, for me, they were hidden. That was fascinating.
Yeah, Turley was a nice little place.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never been there before, but it's a very tiny little village. Which at one point would have been quite self-sufficient because there seemed to be a load of old businesses in the town, which are now houses, of course, but you had a whole range of different businesses.
That's right. A bakery, brewery, tannery. There was the old post office. I can't remember what the others were. I was sort of meant to make a note of it, making a mental note as we walked down that street. But it's clearly a very sought-after place to live, because somebody put a plea, stuck a postcard on the old phone box, which is now the village library, saying, you know, she's looking for a house in Turley, but there was no price range or budget, so I assumed budget was no problem.
Yeah,
for
I think
them.
It said we're proceedable, which pretty much means yes. We've got cash.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't imagine houses come up very often there, and when they do, they're gone before they come on the market, I would imagine. Yeah. But it is very pretty. But as Bo mentioned, and I can't remember where we recorded this bit, she said as we were walking down the street, she said, "Where is everybody?"
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was not a very nice day, but it wasn't raining. It was just grey, wasn't it? And
yeah.
A bit damp. And but we didn't, apart from up above the troughs, we didn't see anybody down that sort of bottom end. There's nobody in the street. You know, you could spend a long time just wandering down that street through the village or the hamlet or wherever it is, just looking at each of the buildings. And then they go way back. I mean, you've got Turley Manor down at the bottom where we turned off, which was built in around 1700. I mean, that really is a very impressive. It's not huge, is it? But it's a really, I thought it was a beautiful building, very, very impressive looking building.
Yeah, the way it was laid out, it was very... It was reminded me like a French chateau.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Had lots of windows, and it had a sort of avenue of tall, narrow trees.
Yeah, like I mean, you could imagine it. Yeah, it's French chateau, or maybe being in Tuscany, the sort of
kind of
I don't know what trees they were—poplars or cypress trees or cypress trees, how you pronounce it. But it wasn't a long avenue. It was only sort of 50 feet long, but it just looked stunning. And then just past that, there was that weird, what I call the Flatiron building. If ever you've been to New York and seen the Flatiron, you can see where it came from, possibly.
But, yeah, it was a house that was sort of built on a corner, and sort of one side of it went uphill, but the angles, the front end,
they weren't square, were they?
They weren't square. No, it was very. Strange angles indeed.
Yeah, it wasn't a 90 degree angle, it was closer to 45 and it was 90.
Yeah,
I'd love to have seen inside just to see what it looks like, the corners of the rooms. It's like roundhouses, isn't there? There's a, if you go to Chitton or even drive through Chitton, there's a roundhouse there, where I always forget her name, always forget her surname, Sue. It'll come back to me. The Chitton historian, she lives in the roundhouse. And I always wonder what it looks like in there, this completely round rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, buying furniture or hanging pictures. Imagine hanging pictures in a roundhouse. A bit easier in a 45-degree triangular-shaped house. But But from there, we sort of, in front of the manor, is on a junction. So the manor faces a lane that goes really steeply uphill. And what was that called? Was it Green Lane?
Green Lane,
yeah. And we headed up there, and more really, really old buildings. I got a feeling Turley's oldest building might be up there as well, the oldest house.
But the views up there really opened up, because we were going uphill at the top, and you could see the view looked right through a valley. In the distance, it was very picturesque.
View, sort of, as we sort of stopped and looked back, that road that we could see that passes the manor, so the road we turned off, that road goes to Bradford-on-Avon, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, yeah.
And it's just a country lane, very narrow. It didn't look much more than single track. But I imagine that would have been the main route to Bradford-on-Avon years ago from the village. So at the top, we go right at some point.
Yes.
So we sort of reached the top of the hill, and then turned right onto it was a byway. So you could take vehicles down it. and we walked along there a bit, and that's where the views of Avoncliff opened up. Now, if you go onto the website, the blog, rather than putting the usual map that we put on there, I included a link for the walk, and we sort of shamelessly nicked the walk from somebody else, which we have credited on the blog site. But the original walk takes you down to Avoncliff and along the canal and past the pub down there, what's it called? The Cross Guns?
Cross Guns, yeah.
So we didn't go down there because we didn't really have enough time, but we did stand on the hill and look down onto Avoncliff and westward on the other side of the canal, and we recorded a little piece there, I think.
So we've just come out of Turley, and we're standing in a Gale Force wind again, but we're looking down onto Avoncliff, so we can see the canal, and we're looking at the pub, which is, there's kind of like a chimney, which actually, now you look at it from this angle, it's not straight, is it? It's got like a bend in it. There's a great tall chimney, must be, what, 50 foot high? Yeah, blowing it up. But it's having a bit of a lean. But then to the right of that is, I think, is the pub, if I remember right.
Yeah, you can see Cross Guns.
That's it, yeah. So it's Cross Guns pub. Which, and then next to that, we've got the viaduct, which was actually built by John Rennie, which I hadn't realised.
Is it an aqueduct?
Aqueduct, it's sorry, it's aqua, not a viaduct. Not aqua, yes. It's carrying... Is it carrying the canal?
Yeah.
Over the river.
Yes, you're right. It's an aqueduct. And the Kennet and Avon Canal goes over it. But the pub goes back to that middle bit, because it looks like three different buildings, doesn't it? And they're all joined together. The middle bit goes back to 1490. And then some, I can't remember the dates now, but I think either they built an extension either the left or the right, and then later on they built another extension. And that's why it's the size it is now. But it does look like three very distinct buildings, and then behind it we've got the canal. So the canal must sort of go, it's going along behind it, must sort of swing a right and then over the aqueducts there.
Yes, so we are going to follow the canal.
We're
going to eventually descend to the canal,
and then it's westward, did you say, up the
westward is on the other side, side of the valley.
So the canal goes that way and that leads over towards the next aqueduct, isn't it? Dundas.
Yes.
Over towards Bath.
And Limpley Stoke is over in that valley as well.
So that was Avoncliff. And of course, when we recorded it, what we didn't know was we were looking at a chimney, quite a tall chimney, by the Cross Guns pub. So this is some way down the hill and across some fields. And we couldn't really quite make up out from where we were standing what it was, and we later found out that the locals call it the Zipper, and it's the tall chimney from, I think there's been something like three mills down at that location next to the pub, and one of them was a textile mill in years gone by, and the chimney that we could see, which was bizarre, wasn't it? It did look like a zip. It was sort of, it was red.
Yeah.
Red brick, if I remember rightly, like a pale coloured brick going down the middle in the shape of a zip.
Yeah.
But at the top of the chimney, it had a little kink in it, and it really was just bizarre. But you can see why the locals call it the Zipper. Mm. It does look like a zip going all the way up the chimney. And then, from there, we carried on down the byway. And as we got near to the bottom, so you're heading towards the canal, the Kennet and Avon Canal, and Bo said, we're supposed to be looking for a house. So what we were looking for was a house that was owned by Sarah and Pauline's grandparents, called The Elbow. And Bo said, where's the house? And I'd completely forgotten about the house. And we sort of looked. We looked to our left, and there was a house. So we looked at the map, and that was it. We were literally standing outside the house.
At the point we asked, "Where's the elbow?" We were actually standing outside the elbow.
Yeah, and we were standing by the gate, which had the elbow written on it.
Yeah. So we just stopped here outside what we think is Elbow Cottage Mall.
Well, it definitely is, yeah. It's just the elbow. So the whole reason we're doing this walk was for Sarah Lucas, who's lived in Scotland for 30 years, and her family used to own this house. So I don't think Sarah's seen it for 30 years, so she asked us to come back and take some pictures. But her grandparents lived here, and when they died, the family sold the house. And Sarah thinks that the people that bought it still live there, and I'm sure she said it was in the 1970s. But of course, we've just seen an old guy pottering around in the garden, so I wonder if that's him.
Could well be, yeah.
It'd be great to go and talk to him, wouldn't it? But he's... Yeah.
It looks to me like there's two houses, because the gate's got 51 and 52, the elbow.
Yeah, maybe they've...
And they look like there are maybe two paths.
Yeah, maybe they've... No, she did say that they partitioned part of it off as a holiday cottage. Yeah. So I think that's a let, and that's the main house.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's in a lovely spot. It's isolated, beautiful. Isn't it? There's no other houses around here, and it's right
that's
next
to... That's what needs a sign saying this way for Elbow Cottage.
And right next to the canal.
Yeah.
So do you have to drive down this track?
I don't know if you can drive up over the canal bridge there. That's pretty narrow.
I think they must have to come from Turley.
Yeah, down that track. But it's just a beautiful spot, isn't it? What a place to live. I can see why Sarah's sort of attached to it still after all these years.
Mm. And you can hear the trains.
And you can hear the trains if you're a train spotter. You can hear two trains.
And you surely have to have an obligatory canal boat moored up at the bottom of
the garden. One of those has got to be theirs, isn't it? In fact, my money's on the one with it. Is that a Dutch flag?
I think so, yeah.
But it's not a canal boat, is it? It's a proper old messing about in the river boat.
It's a fantastic location, that house, though. It's standalone on its own, right on the edge of the canal.
Yeah. Looks down, great big gardens, canal at the bottom of the garden, and then looking across the canal you could see the railway line and Freshford station, wasn't it? I'm trying to remember the name of the station. You could see that a short way away across the fields. But there's a canal bridge there, and we remarked upon the facts, how on earth does he get his car up there? And it must be down the byway from Turley. I think you could get in from the other side over the canal, but there's one of a very old canal bridge, and I mean, you could very easily bottom out a car, I think, coming over that bridge. So I'm assuming they come from the top. We'll mention the elbow again later, because it's when you're looking at it, it looks like two houses, and in fact it is. I think the other bit was an annex that was built, but we'll come back to that. But we stayed on the same side of the canal as the elbow. The main canal towpath is on the other side, and the much wider towpath. But we stayed on the same side, on the Turley side, and we turned right, because we wanted to go to, I don't know how you pronounce it, Murrill or Murhill Wharf. It's spelt Murhill, Murhill.
Yeah.
And we were heading there. And it's that stretch of the towpath was quite narrow, wasn't it? And
it was, yeah.
You and Bo sort of cracked on along the path. I was taking some pictures, and it, at one point I very nearly went in the canal. I lost my footing because it was quite muddy and slippery, and my foot went, and it would be so easy to fall in there. It's very, very narrow. So if you do follow the walk, just watch your footing there. But we got to the wharf, and it's quite a short distance. And again, a fascinating place. Not a huge amount to see. You can see where the wharf was. You can see the stonework. But the interesting thing about the wharf, it was built for the quarries, which are in the hills above. And these are the quarries are just below Winsley, an old Winsley, and the walk takes you really steeply up the hill from the wharf. And if you look carefully, you can see an old tramway, what's left of an old tramway, which was built in 1826, which I think I read somewhere that was originally would have been wooden, But what you can see now is some of the old iron rails. And what they used to do was they had trucks, sort of little wagons, and they would load them up with stone from the quarry up above and lower it down along this rail to the wharf, and then load the stone into the barges, which would take it away. And the stone was much sought after, and it was used in places as far away as Templemead Station in Bristol, some of the fascia there. I think it was, I can't remember if it's Beau who mentioned this, but it ended up in buildings in London, and of course more locally the aqueduct at Avoncliff. And we found out later, some of the poorer quality stone was used in part of the fabric of the aqueduct, and and if you look at the aqueduct, which we didn't get to see this time, but if you go down there, one of the arches is sagging, and that's because of the poor quality stone that they used for that particular part of the aqueduct. But that incline, because we'll play a bit. I think we talked about it in the recording, and I was talking about some sort of water system, water balance system, which is what I was just assuming they did. And maybe we'll play that bit. But as we would find out later, it's actually what's called a balanced incline. So as the weight of the truck coming down the tramway, there's basically two parallel tramways, and on the other rail, the weight of the loaded truck would raise the empty truck from the wharf back up to the quarry. So I saw some drawings of this, and it can be best described as a pendulum of a clock. So there's one comes down, the other one goes up, but obviously one side is always much heavier than the other. So it was clearly some sort of braking system at the top.
Yeah, it's a very, very ingenious and clever way to do it, because as we were walking up there, I think we were scratching our heads thinking, how the hell would they have got the tram system to work here, because it's so bloody steep.
Yeah.
I mean, when you walk it, you really feel, you know, the backs of your legs go in, your lungs, heavy breathing. Yeah, it's really steep.
I was knackered. And of course, I forgot to take photographs of the wharf. So I got halfway up and remembered. So I had to go all the way back down again and back up. And I was absolutely knackered by the time I joined you and Beau at the top. It's exhausting.
So we're here at, where are we? Moorhill Moorings. Which was an old sort of wharf dock, if you like, for the quarries. So we're standing here. Looking at the canal and then across the valley towards the railway, which is beyond the trees, but right behind us would have been the quarries. So somewhere around here there are tramways, the remains of tramways, where they would have brought the trucks, the little wagons with stone down here to the canal side, and then loaded the stone onto the canal barges. I can't remember what period we're talking about then. I know that up here in the woods, there's you've still got the old quarry workings, and there's the sort of the caverns.
All right, let's have a look.
I saw a YouTube video somebody shot, and they've been. I mean, you can see into the caves.
Yeah.
But they've got like a grill.
Yeah, they're probably gate all off stopping limits.
I
wouldn't want to go into them.
No, pretty dangerous. But you can't get in anyway because it's all sort of gated off. But you can see right in. But somewhere along here, as we go along the path, we should be able to see the tramways, just the iron rails. So we've walked up from the wharf a little bit, and Beau's found the tramways, but
there's not much left of them.
No,
you can see the metal.
Yeah, they're either not in the original position or they've just slipped down the hill, because it's a really steep climb here. So over a couple of hundred years, this may well have just slipped down, but yeah, there's a lot of ironwork here, isn't there? So we're at the quarries above the Moorhill. Is it Moorhill or Moorhill?
Moorhill, I think. Yeah.
Above the wharf, and bloody hell, it was a steep climb, wasn't it, going up?
It was a bit of a lung buster, yeah.
Especially those of us who have to go back down because he forgot to take photographs.
Yeah, well,
which wasn't the smartest thing I've ever done.
No sympathy.
It's good for your heart.
Yeah. Most exercise I'll get this year.
But so, you were saying the tramway must have been very steep.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
hard work
yeah.
to go with laden, heavy, full of stone carriages.
Yeah.
Quite a distance.
If all I was doing was carrying my enormous weights up there, just imagine it with a truck. I mean, it's one thing going down with the stones laden up, in which case the big challenge there is stopping it run away
yeah.
and to break it. But
I think we've got to
coming back up.
We've got to hunt out some photos
yeah,
from that
yeah.
period because it's amazing, really. And but up here at the top now, where the wood is woodland, but at the back of the wood is a huge cliff,
quarry face.
Yeah, that is Bath stone. You can see the colour.
So at the top of the incline, it sort of flattens out, and there's a lane there. There's a few cars parked along the lane, and people
yeah.
obviously walk their dogs. And you've got woods up there, so there's quite a few people sort of walking up there. But you can see the quarry faces, and you can go into
yeah.
it. There was some, immediately at the top of the tramway. There was fencing, but just a few feet to the left, and the fencing was, I don't think it was torn down. It just stopped, and you could go and people clearly do go and root around the quarries.
Yeah.
I mean, we kept our distance because. You know, you don't want to be rooting around old quarry workings, otherwise you'll end up with half of it on your head. But it was fascinating to sort of poke around in there. And we didn't see it at the time, but along that face, that sort of escarpment, if you like, I have seen a YouTube video where there's an old boiler house. And I think this was for the boiler that drove the stone cutting equipment, so it provided the
yeah.
steam that drove the stone cutting equipment from the quarry before it was lowered down to the wharf. But apparently that can be seen. We just weren't at the right place, and not quite sure where it is, but it's pretty close by. I think that's quite easy to find. But from there, it was we wended our way. We at the top of the incline, we turned left, having looked at the quarry workings. Took a left and then a diagonal right up through the woods. And Beau described it as being the high road and the low road. So I think there were two routes up
yeah.
through the woods, and she suggested we use the lower one because it's less muddy and probably a little less well used. And we headed up there, and what struck us there was the dry stone walls, wasn't it?
Yeah, there were some dry stone walls, quite extensive ones actually, built at the edge of the wood.
Yeah.
And it had some signage there that explained that the dry stone walling had been an ongoing project for a long time.
Yeah, I think the first stone walls were built in 1915. They first started building the stone walls up there in 1915, and there's a project going, as you say, it's still going on now, where people go and continue to build the dry stone walls up there. It was lovely.
Yeah, there was a sign saying Winsley Volunteer Dry Stone Wall Project.
That's it.
So congratulations to them, because it's a really nice thing to find actually on the edge of the wood.
And it's quite interesting seeing that contrast between the old original stone, which they started in 1915, up to the more recent stuff, which is clearly was much newer. But then from there you head up to what turned out to be a nature reserve. Trying to remember what it was called now, sort of Winsley Nature Reserve or something, which we sort of entered into just the edge of that.
Yeah.
And I think in the spring, that would be a fantastic place to go and see the wildflowers there. But from there, we headed through the car park of Avon Park, which is a retirement home. And again, another bit of history from Sarah and her family, that it used to be a TB clinic, didn't it?
Yeah,
treating tuberculosis. And Sarah's mum used to work there. And Sarah told me about how her, she's got a picture of her mum and a load of other nurses staring into a big crater in the grounds of the of what is now Avon Park retirement home. And it was a stray bomb from a German bomber, which was presumably dropping bombs on Bristol. And they're staring into this huge crater in the grounds of the of what was the hospital. But the right of way crosses the car park at the front of Avon Park, and this is where we met a fascinating guy. And we still had our mics on, so I don't know if we picked up any of what he was saying. He was probably a little bit too far away, but there was a guy in his on his driveway doing jobs, it was sort of like he was tidying out his garage or something, and Bo was asking him about a right of way that she could remember using some years ago that took us back into the woods. And this guy just turned out to be an absolute encyclopedia of knowledge of the local history, and he turned out to be an architect. And he was telling us about he told us about the Zipper. And he was telling us about the poorhouse, which is now, I think, you know, well, it's residential housing down at Avon Cliff. And he told us about the mills, and he told us about other quarries, and he just listed out all these places we should go and see. Some of them we won't, because they're into North Somerset or wherever Bath is these days, northeast Somerset. But a lot of them were in Wiltshire, and I wasn't taking notes, and I hope we pick up some of that from that recording, but he might have been a bit far away. But just sort of completing the circuit, if you like, we were telling him what we were doing and the podcast, and we told him about the elbow, and he said, a mate of mine lives in that annex next to the Griffiths family house. He rents it. So, you know, what a small world, eh? It was just a very... for me, a neat symmetry to the whole day, really.
Yeah, it kind of stitches the day together.
It did, didn't it? Yeah. We should have got his name. He'd be a great bloke to get on the podcast, wouldn't he? Just we could just
we'll have to go back and knock on his
door.
Yeah,
like we know where he lives. So it's a really interesting, really nice guy, very interesting. And his historical knowledge was just, you know, we could have gone on for hours talking to him.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was it. We're just a short stretch across some fields back to the car.
Yeah.
Cars.
Not a long walk, but a fascinating one.
Yeah.
And, having that link in with the industrial history as well was really nice.
Yeah,
Very good.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, we don't want to, this could be a long podcast, so we probably should kill it there, shouldn't we?
Yeah, let's wrap up before Mr. Grumpy gets writing his letters again.
Yes. he'll kill me for that bit. But right, so the thank yous. So the bit of music we used in the middle there, of course it was by Steve Dixon. So that one's called Canopy. And I was struggling a bit looking through the pieces of music that Steve has supplied to us, and I couldn't. There were no titles that really sort of resonated. So, but well, we did spend a bit of time under the trees. So, I thought Canopy there, and yeah, as ever, thanks to Steve, the aforementioned website blog site for be show notes on there with links and stuff, links to the online shop. Still got some books, so if you want to go and buy a book or two from us, as well as other tat you can buy from there. What else? You can sign up for the newsletter on there.
Yes.
The Erstwhile newsletter. I'm looking at you, Glyn.
Yeah.
What else? That's about it, isn't it?
I think so. I think we're done.
Yep. Next episode, no idea.
We'll work something out, but as we always do.
We've got a few in the can, in the pipeline. So, yeah, there's plenty to talk about.
Okay, I think that wraps us up for this week, and we will be back in 2 weeks' time with another mystery topic to cover.
Mystery to you and I at the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah.